with mercy. He was dead before he hit the floor. Who is he? Special Agent Terrence McGraw, counterintelligence unit out of Chicago, on special assignment for me. You ever hear of the group? No. They're a right-wing extremist cell. I'm not your usual anti-government fringe types. They've got deep pockets and influence. McGraw was getting close to revealing their leadership when he was taken out. The only member we've been able to get a visual on is this guy. Goes by the name of Radesky. McGraw had him pegged as the group spotter in charge of recruitment. And they can afford the best, mostly freelancers. Combination of ex-CIA and DOD operatives and hitmen.
So what do they want?
Same as any terrorist group. Power. To what end, we don't know. What we do know is, before McGraw was killed, he had uncovered a plot to assassinate Senator Joseph Kaifman.
That's the guy running for president.
The one who will be president, if you believe the polls.
Why Kaifman?
McGraw couldn't provide any more details.
So what's your next move?
Nothing. I'm calling off the investigation. Come again?
That's right. As of today, the FBI is no longer investigating the group.
Okay, I don't get it.
You got a major conspiracy beef here, not to mention a dead agent, and what, you want to back off?
Officially, yes. Unofficially. There's a reason why McGraw's cover was blown. He was betrayed by someone in the Bureau.
What, like a mole?
I could be wrong. I hope I am. But if I'm not, there's no one I can trust anymore. Except you. I trust you because I knew your father.
Beware of the lone wolf investigator. The lone wolf fed. Beware.
Did you think your plans were secret when you left your office last night and you closed the door behind you? Were you walking in your sleep or were you just too tired to notice all the watchful eyes upon you? There's the man who does the maintenance and the maid who cleans the carpets in the hall. And the guard down in the lobby through a hidden TV camera saw it all. I've observed your latest habits and your random dancing patterns, and I've learned fully faced deception is your secret salad, but then when your bones are through and die. This little birdie told me who was talking to fly from the wall. So when you think nobody's looking on the eye that passes by you, when you think nobody's listening, I'm the listener. I'm the resistor.
This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Esker. Right here in North Central Indiana, transmitting to the world.
for another crazed commuter of the information highway who just crashed inside your email. When I was in your part of town, I strolled around and slipped this note under your door. So when you think nobody's looking at the eye that passes by you, when you think nobody's listening, I'm a listener. I'm a resistor.
I think I'll start off by bitching this morning. You know, in the 40 years I've been involved, I envisioned a massive intelligence spy network across the country and maybe even across the world. But alas, all my hopes and desires have not been fulfilled. In fact, very little has been fulfilled. Luckily for the internet, a lot more can be done by one individual along these lines, but that doesn't excuse the thousands of people who've come through this so-called racial movement and have just been spectators. They haven't really... Almost none have really done anything. So I get, when I look around and realize what our potential was and how far we've gone, it's very depressing. The biggest problem is we're on the tit of the right wing, and most of the so-called racialists are still on the tit of the right wing, which is going nowhere. They couldn't find their ass with a searchlight. They couldn't infiltrate with a searchlight. There's no way, because the leadership of the right wing has never been interested in a real war in the shadows. They've been interested in collecting dues, giving speeches once in a while, getting a bunch of people in a hall and charging them money to trot out a bunch of has-been right-wingers to rail on and on about the Jews and the homosexuals and all the things that they've always railed upon. But they've never demanded agents that should come back to the leadership with information. It's vital information, not bullshit information. How many rabbis are in town and stuff like that. You see it all over the internet today, coming from this right-wing Hitler worship stuff. All kinds of material on those dirty, rotten Jews. I'm sure the FBI appreciates the right-wing chasing their tail all the time about the Jews. And if they were really serious about it in the past 40 years, it would have been no big deal to reach out and handle some of these top corrupt, devious Jews. But the problem there is you're surrounded by corrupt, white, devious Aryans that sell their own mother. So you come down to the position where you're saying, oh, it's wonderful, we got a billionaire running for president, and his practices are very shady, and he says a few right-wing things, you know, that get the old right-wing excited. They get all excited, just like Ronald Reagan did, just like George Wallace did, just like what's his name, the little shrimp from Texas. But they never really expose themselves as really racial, And they're not going to, because it's all a phony bunch of bullshit. In the third parties, in the first parties, in the second parties, in all parties. Now, you're not alone, because the left, Jew left, is the same way. They've got thousands and thousands of people out there chasing their tail, going nowhere, not changing anything. You got the right wing screaming about the threat of socialism. Well, if you're... We got plenty of Jewish socialism in this country right now. But you don't have much Aryan socialism. And so what good does that do? I get a lot of my good stuff out of the left, you know. Some of their writers, they're not going to say they're for white people, white racism. No, they're not going to say that. But they do expose the corruption and rottenness of the system. And for that, I thank them. There's a lot of good journalists out there that work their ass off on exposing the military-industrial complex, the danger to the ecology, and all of that kind of stuff. And those people we should listen to. The right doesn't even have good, honest reporting on this level. And they certainly are not going to be anti-military-industrial complex, Pentagon. Look at Trump. The right wing's going gaga over Trump, but Trump wants to maybe double the military expenditure. If China will loan him the money. Did you hear any of these assholes talk anti-war? I didn't. In the debates, did you hear any of them talking about, let's cut that military-industrial complex money budget in half? I didn't hear anything about that. So the real important issues to the white race are not even being discussed. Most people, most even racists, think, well, what's this military-industrial complex got to do with our problem? Yeah. With 3 or 4 million, 100 million, I don't know how many millions going to Israel every year, going to all these countries. All of them are just as bad. Israel's just one of them. At least they're a little more devious and successful than most, because they brought a lot of the good rules of war from Germany when they built Israel, patterned their military after the Wehrmacht, and that's why they're very successful. So anyhow, I sit here in my little cubby hole and look out about, and I don't see any white resistance. All I see is white capitulation. I don't see any overt activities against the system by the left or the right or the middle. I don't know what those FBI agents are doing, because there's really nothing out here to worry about. They've got infiltrators in everything that might be important. But so, to me, it's a waste of money to infiltrate groups like the Klan and people like Duke and stuff like that. Because it's all talk. It's all bullshit. There's nothing ever going to come out of it that's tangible. So save your money. Of course, you better save your money, because your agents are getting worse all the time, and now you can't even... The good agents are warring against the bad agents. And the head of the FBI is kissing the ass of the extreme Jewish left. And I don't know what to tell you, boys and girls, because... The only activity and action I see is ISIS. They seem to be the only guerrilla outfit that's serious. the rest of the people are just always backing down. So, I don't know. I'll get on with the news here, but I'm just trying to tell you, it's fucked up. This whole thing is fucked up. I keep thinking now and then about all the right-wing shit I went through and the money I wasted and the time I wasted and property I lost and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes it really feels like a wasted life. But not really, because we do have good people out there. They're out there, but they're not going to throw themselves on the guns of the enemy for nothing, you know. And there's not, you know, my idea would be to actually physically knock off all the people that are involved in spreading the war around the world. Yeah, those are the people they should go after. You know, like back at the turn of the century with the anarchists, they didn't aim at the bottom, they aimed at the top. And that's the only way you get anything done. But even then, there's so many rats at the top. You kill one and there'll be 50 others standing on his body to get his job. So that's another problem. You know, you think, oh, well, maybe we can do it this way, maybe we could do it that way. I'm of the conclusion that the only thing that way anything can be done is for the whole goddamn thing to collapse. And let's not have any more guys and go to prison for nothing like our good buddies in there. It makes me sick every time I think of it. You set up deals like with Matt Hale. Those sons of bitches. Now, admittedly, he didn't act too smart, but on the other hand, he was so totally set up. Absolutely. And they laugh about it. If you sit in on the FBI and Chicago police and talk about Matt Hale, they'd laugh their ass off. They'd say, what a dumb shit, you know. We sucked him into that one. We got another one off the street. We won't have to worry about him doing the big number someday. I don't think the smartest of us are smart enough. I don't know where the smart's going to come from. But what we are today is not going to make it. We can imagine, we can visualize what we'd like to see, but I don't see as much today as I did 20 years ago. It seems like it's getting worse as they miseducate the kids in school. And see, now a lot of the things that you and I know about kids today don't even remember because they weren't around. All they know is what the TV tells them. And they don't have the powers of discernment to separate the important stuff on the TV from the bad stuff. Anyhow, I think you know what I mean. It's going to be quite a while before there's another Bob Matthews. And hopefully, when the other Matthews comes along, he's going to know how to really get him. Not piss around too much at the bottom. Not worry about a talk show host in Denver. Small potatoes. But they're going to know what to do, where to do it, and who to do it to. And they're going to be successful. But the way it looks now, that's a long way off. But I think it's only going to come out of deprivation and collapse. Maybe starvation. And all that. Seems like adversity breeds the best revolutionaries. Okie dokie. That's my little thing and I'm sticking to it. Well, I hope that enough of you out there like to get up-to-date information on the world scale and what's going on in the Middle East and so forth. Because I do extract a lot of good information on what's going on with the corrupt military-industrial complex, corrupt NATO, corrupt UN, corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. I'm going to cover one today about the Ukraine, because they try to use Ukraine as a flashback to flashpoint to get the Russians involved. So far, I haven't seen anything the Russians have done that is objectionable, if you're honest. So anyhow, let's go into this, and I'll see if I can pass it along to you. Just a minute here. Hold it. Bear with me, boys and girls. Well, anyhow, this will do. Be a little harder, but this is by Robert Perry. He's with the Consortium News, and he is a rebel, and he does some damn good investigative reporting. If Ukraine becomes a flashpoint for World War III with Russia, and the American people might rue the day when their government pressed for the 2014 overthrow of Ukraine's allegedly corrupt, though elected, president in favor of a coup regime led by Ukrainian lawmakers who now report amassing, on average, more than $1 million each, much of its cash. The New York Times, which served as a virtual press agent for the coup in February 2014, took note of this apparent corruption among the U.S.-favored post-coup officials, albeit deep inside a story that itself was deep inside the newspaper. Page A8, the lead angle was a bemused observation that Ukraine's officialdom lacked faith in the country's own banks, thus explaining why so much cash. Yeah. Yet Ukraine is a country beset by widespread poverty, made worse by the post-coup neoliberal reforms, slashing pensions, making old people work longer, and reducing heating subsidies for common citizens. The average Ukrainian salary is only $214 a month. So an inquiring mind might wonder how, in the face of all that hardship, the post-coup officials did so well for themselves, raking millions of dollars. But Times correspondent Andrew E. Kramer treads lightly on the possibility that these officials were at least as corrupt, if not more so, than the elected government that the U.S. helped overthrow. Elected President Viktor Yanukovych had been excoriated for a lavish lifestyle because he had a sauna in his residence. Kramer's article tried to explain the bundles of cash is a sign that many of the lawmakers and officials responsible for inspiring public trust in Ukraine's economic and banking institutions have little faith that their own wealth would be safe in the country's banks, according to recent mandated financial disclosures. Prime Minister Volodymyr Groysman, for example, declared over $1 million in savings in cash. $870,000 and €460,000, apparently shunning Ukraine's ever-wobbly banking system. The top official in charge of the country's banks, Valeria Gontierova, who is responsible for stabilizing the national currency, the hryvnia, maintains most of her money in American dollars, $1.8 million. Quote, a tally of the declarations filed by the most of the Parliament's 450 members, compiled by one analyst, Andre Giras, found that the lawmakers collectively held $482 million in monetary assets, of which $36 million were kept as cold hard cash. Some politicians seem to have approached the declaration as a sort of amnesty, revealing everything they have earned from decades of crooked dealings in an effort to come clean. One minister reported a wine collection with bottles worth thousands of dollars each. Another official declared ownership of a church. Yet another claimed a ticket to outer space with Virgin Galactic spaceship. Another theory making the rounds in Kiev, where people generally acknowledge the inventive, venal genius of their politicians, suggests that the public servants are padding their declarations so they can hide future bribes within their reported cash holdings and thus offer plausible excuses for luxury cars and expensive jewelry. Ironically, passage of the law requires the disclosures of what appears to be widespread corruption among Kiev's officials unlocked millions of euros in a new aid money from the European Union that then flowed to the same apparent corrupt officials, ousted Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych. However, because the Ukraine regime change in 2014 was partly orchestrated by the U.S. and EU officials around the propaganda theme that elected President Yanukovych was corrupt, he had that sauna after all. The continued corruption in the post-coup regime has been a rarely acknowledged inconvenient truth. Indeed, some business people operated in the Ukraine have complained that the corruption has grown worse since Yanukovych was overthrown. Yet only occasionally has the reality been allowed to peek through in the mainstream U.S. media, which is just as corrupt, which prefers to deny that any coup occurred, to blame Russia for all Ukraine's problems, and to praise the post-coup reforms which targeted pensions, heating subsidies, and other social programs for the average citizens. One of the rare deviations from the happy talk appearing in a Wall Street Journal on January 1, 2016, observing that most Ukrainians say the revolution's promise to replace rule by thieves with rule by law has fallen short, and the government acknowledges that there is still much to be done. Isn't that what they always say? That's what Hillary's going to say. Well, I did a little, but there's still much to be done. Elect me for the next 4 years, after this 4 years, and I'll work on it. Actually, the numbers suggested something even worse. More and more Ukrainians rated corruption as the major problem facing the nation, including a majority of the 53% of September 2015, up from 28% in September 2014, according to polls by International Foundation for Electrical Systems. Well, I think the French had the best idea, the French Revolution. Chop off their goddamn heads. Hey, you could get the ISIS guys, they know how to do that. So as the hard lives of most Ukrainians got harder, the elites continued to skim off whatever cream was left, including access to billions of dollars in the West's foreign assistance that has kept the economy afloat, you see? All the crooks of the United States are always in with crooks of these other countries. There was, for instance, the case of Finance Minister Natalie Jaresko, who was regarded by many pundits as the face of Ukraine's reform before departing last April after losing out in a power struggle. Yet Jaresko was hardly a paragon of reform prior to getting instant Ukrainian citizenship and becoming finance minister in December 2014. She was a former U.S. diplomat who had been entrusted to run a $150 million U.S. taxpayer-funded program to help jumpstart and investment economy in Ukraine and Moldova. You don't know whether to laugh or cry. Jurescu's compensation was capped at $150,000 a year, a salary that many Americans, let alone Ukrainians, would envy. But it was not enough for her, so she engaged in a variety of maneuvers to evade the cap and enrich herself by claiming millions of dollars in bonuses and fees. Oh, God. Unfortunately, Jurescu was collecting more than $2 million a year after she shifted management of the Western NIS Enterprise Fund to her own private company, Horizon Capital, and arranged to get lucrative bonuses when selling off investments, even as the overall fund was losing money, according to official records. Ukrainian Finance Minister Natalie Jurescu. For instance, Jurescu collected $1.77 million in bonuses in 2013, according to a WNISEF filing with the Internal Revenue Service. In her financial disclosure forms with the Ukrainian government, she reported earning $2.66 million in 2013 and $2.5 million in 2014, thus amassing a sizable personal fortune while investing U.S. taxpayers' money supposedly to benefit the Ukrainian people. Just a minute here. Lost my place. It didn't matter that WNISEF continued to hemorrhage money, shrinking from its original $150 million to $89.8 million in the 2013 tax year. According to the IRS filing, they reported that the bonuses of Jurescu and other corporate officers were based on successful exits from some investments, even if the overall fund was losing money. Though Jurescu's enrichment schemes were documented by the IRS and other official filings, the mainstream U.S. media turned a blind eye to this history. Well, what do you expect? All the better to pretend that Ukraine's reform process was in good hands. Oh, boy. Worried about the continued corruption, Vice President in charge of Vice, Joe Biden, who took a personal interest in the Ukraine, lectured the Ukraine's parliament on the need to end cronyism. Yeah, and you got Obama. He's not a cronyism guy. But Biden had his own Ukraine cronyism problem because 3 months after the U.S.-backed overthrow of the Yanukovych government, Ukraine's largest private gas firm, Burisma Holdings, appointed Biden's son, Hunter Biden, to its board of directors. Burisma, a shadowy Cyprus-based company, also lined up with connected lobbyists, some with ties to the Secretary of State, John Kerry, including Kerry's former Senate Chief of Staff, David Leiter, according to lobbying disclosures. Uh-oh, he may be a distant relative. I got Leiters on one side of my family. As Time magazine reported, Leiter's involvement in the firm rounds out a power-packed team of politically connected Americans that also included a second new board member, Devin Archer, a Democratic bundler and former advisor to John Kerry's 2004 presidential campaign. Both Archer and Hunter Biden have worked as business partners with Kerry's son-in-law, Christopher Heintz, the founding partner of Rosemont Capital, a private equity company. According to investigative journalism Inside Ukraine, the ownership of Burisma has been traced to private bank controlled by the thuggish billionaire oligarch Ihor Kolomoisky, who was appointed by the U.S.-backed reform regime to be governor of Dnipropetrovsk. Oblast, a southern central province of the Ukraine. Pardon my pronunciation. Though Kamilovsky was eventually ousted from the post in a power struggle over control of Urtransnafta, Ukraine's state-owned oil pipeline operator. In a speech to the Ukraine's parliament in December 2015, Biden hailed the sacrifices of the 100 or so protesters who died during the maiden putsch in February 2014, which ousted Yanukovych, referring to the dead by their laudatory name, the Heavenly Hundred. Oh, God. They have to screw these guys in the ground for them to go to bed. But Biden made no heavenly references to the estimated 10,000 people, mostly ethnic Russians, who have been slaughtered in the U.S.-encouraged anti-terror operation waged by the coup regime against eastern Ukrainians who resisted Yanukovych's violent ouster. Nor did Biden take note that some of the Heavenly Hundred were street fighters for the Hollywood neo-Nazis and other far-right nationalist organizations. But after making his sugary references to the Heavenly Hundred, Biden delivered his bitter medicine, an appeal for the parliament to continue implementing International Monetary Fund reforms, including demands that old people work longer into their old age. Well, this thing about these 100, you see, it's very simple to misguide both European right-wingers and American right-wingers. Most of the time they're Hitler lovers, and they go into these things with hardly any information. They don't know who's who. They're told who's who, and then they go in there and give up their lives or whatever. They were doing it fighting in eastern Ukraine, too. I run into these guys. They don't know shit or shinola about what they're getting into. Biden said for the Ukraine to continue making progress and to keep the support of the international community, you have to do more as well. The big part of moving forward with your IMF program, it requires difficult reforms, and they are difficult. Quote, let me say parenthetically here, all the experts from our State Department, another corrupt institution, totally corrupt, and the U.S. State Department is one of our worst racial enemies, flooding the country with the garbage of the world, and all the think tanks. They come to tell you that you know what you should do is you should deal with pensions. You should deal with as if easy to do. Hell, we're having trouble in America dealing with it. We're having trouble. To vote to raise the pension age is to write your political obituary in many places. Well, it should. They're going to try to cut these pensions in the United States in half or eliminate them. It's going to happen. Don't misunderstand that those of us who serve in other democratic institutions don't understand how hard the conditions are, how difficult it is to cast some of the votes to meet obligations committed to under the IMF. It requires sacrifices. It's all politicians don't sacrifice, the people sacrifice, that might not be politically expedient or popular, but they're critical to putting the Ukraine back on the path to a future that is economically secure. You bullshit. Biden, you're a son of a bitch. And I urge you to stay the course as hard as it is. Yeah, you're not. It's not hard for you, Biden. Ukraine needs a budget that's consistent with your IMF commitments. Fuck the IMF. However, as tough as it might have been for Ukraine's parliament to slash pensions, reduce heating subsidies for the people, and force the elderly to work long and hard, that political sacrifice did not appear to extend to the officials making the financial sacrifices themselves, who walked away with millions and millions of dollars in cash. And then they want to attack the Russians. The Russians are bad guys. Shit. Investigative reporter Robert Perry broke many of the Iran-Contra stories for the Associated Press and Newsweek in the 80s. You can buy his latest book, America's Stolen Narrative, either in print here or as an e-book from Amazon. I like this guy, Robert Perry. I think he's a square shooter, and I think we should listen to what he's got to say. And because all this is intertwined with what's happening here, you see, some people say, what the fuck are you telling me, talking to me about the Ukraine? Well, because it's all intertwined. U.S. Wall Street and the politicians are controlling countries from all over the world. They decide who's going to lead them. They decide on changing leadership, killing them off like they've been doing the whole bit. This is not a democratic or republic government. And don't tell me one party's better than the other, because they're both robbers and thieves and should be taken care of. To the barricades with the pitchforks and the torches, boys and girls. That's the only thing that'll ever change this mess. Perhaps you ought to copy this or record what I'm going to send to you and give it to David Duke. It wouldn't make any difference, I'm sure, but you never could tell. This is what the Israel Advisory Committee, connected to Donald Trump, has recommended on its position to Israel. The Israel Advisory Committee to Donald J. Trump has issued a statement describing the positions of the GOP presidential candidate. In other words, they demanded it. And expressing their gratitude on Wednesday to those who helped over the past few months formulating this bullshit list. The team began with the unbreakable bond between the United States and Israel, unquote. No bond is unbreakable, assholes. Which it said, based upon shared values of democracy, freedom of speech, and respect for minorities. Tell that to the Palestinians, cherishing life and the opportunity for all citizens to pursue their dreams. The leaders of Israel are sure pursuing their dreams. Point two, said the team, is that Israel is the state of the Jewish people who have lived in that land for 3,500 years. Bullshit. The state of Israel has founded with courage and determination by great men and women against enormous odds and is an inspiration to people everywhere who value freedom and human dignity. Now, this is put out by the Trump people. Remember, these are campaign points of the GOP presidential candidate for the United States. The election is next Tuesday. Point three, Israel is a staunch ally. Tell that to the boys on the USS Liberty, and a key partner in the global war against Islamic jihadism. Well, that's just to save their own ass. Military cooperation and coordination between Israel and the U.S. must continue to grow. Yeah. Which means more money, right? It goes on and on. Frankly, it sounds a lot like a real ally is supposed to sound. Yeah, suck ass. Another promise included in the platform is a pledge by Trump to ensure that Israel receives maximum military, strategic, and tactical cooperation from the United States, and the MOU will not limit the support that we give. Get that? The MOU will not limit the support that we give. Further, Congress will not be limited to give support greater than that provided by the MOU if it chooses to do so. Of special interest was that he was the pledge to oppose efforts to delegitimize Israel, impose discriminatory double standards against Israel, more like justice, or to impose special labeling requirements on Israel products or boycotts on Israel goods. You mean they're ashamed of the goods they send out? That's amazing. In addition, Trump pledged that if he's elected, his administration will ask the Justice Department to investigate coordinated attempts on college campuses to intimidate students who support Israel. In other words, people who disagree with Israel. But the real kicker came in the following related list of points. A two-state solution between Israel and the Palestinians appears impossible as long as the Palestinians are unwilling to renounce violence against Israel. Well, will Israel renounce violence against the Palestinians? Or recognize Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state? Why don't they just say a state? Additionally, the Palestinians are divided between PA rule in the West Bank and Hamas rule in Gaza, so that there is no united Palestinian people who can control the second state. No, not as long as you're burrowing in and screwing them up. Hamas is a U.S.-designated terrorist organization. They throw that terrorism around real easy. That actively seeks Israel's destruction. We will seek to assist the Israelis and the Palestinians in reaching a comprehensive, lasting peace to be freely, fairly negotiated between those living in the region. Well, you never have. Why would you now? Quote, the Palestinian leadership, includes the PA, has undermined any chance for peace with Israel by raising generations of Palestinian children on an educational system of hatred of Israel and the Jews. Well, it might have something to do with them being driven out of places and their homes blown up and everything else. The larger Palestinian society is regularly taught that hatred on the Palestinian television, in the Palestinian press, in the entertainment media, and in the political and religious communications. The two major Palestinian political parties, Hamas and Fatah, regularly promote anti-Semitism. No, they don't promote anti-Semitism because it's anti-Judaism. The Arabs are Semitic. The U.S. cannot support the creation of a new state where terrorism is financially incentivized. Terrorists are celebrated by political parties and government institutions, and the corrupt diversion of foreign aid is rampant. The U.S. should not support the creation of a state that forbids the presence of Christians and Jewish citizens, or that discriminates against people on the basis of religion. Well, that's their business. The U.S. should support direct negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians without preconditions, and will oppose all Palestinian, European, and other efforts to bypass direct negotiations between the parties in favor of an imposed settlement. Any solutions imposed on Israel by outside parties, including by the United Nations Security Council, should be opposed. We support Israel's right and obligation to defend itself against terror attacks upon its people and against alternate forms of warfare being waged upon it legally, economically, culturally, and otherwise. In other words, United States is a vassal state to Israel. And Trump's going to be even worse. Oh, yeah, he's going to be worse than Obama was when it comes to Israel. Israel's maintenance of defensible borders that preserve peace and promote stability in the region is a necessity. Pressure should not be put on Israel to withdraw to the borders that make attacks and conflict more likely. Well, I'm getting sick in my stomach. The U.S. will recognize Jerusalem as the eternal and indivisible capital of the Jewish state. What the fuck have you got to do telling people over there what to do on either side? These goddamn politicians in Washington, I hope they die of a horrible disease. The U.S. will recognize Jerusalem as the eternal and indivisible capital of the Jewish state, which is none of our goddamn business. And Mr. Trump's administration will move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Oh, you support all that, David Duke? Come on, come out with it, David Duke. 1 week ago, Trump told American voters in Israel at a video rally outside the walls of the old city of Jerusalem, quote, my administration will stand side by side with the Jewish people. And Israel's leaders to continue strengthening the bridges that connect not only Jewish Americans and Israel, but also all Americans and Israelis. Together we will stand up to enemies like Iran, bent on destroying Israel and her people. Together we will make America and Israel safe again. I love the view of Iranian people. There's millions of white, beautiful white people in Iran. So as far as I'm concerned, I support Iran more than any of these other bastards, including Washington. Anyhow, that's what it is, and that's what the hero of the right wing support. All those people that continually put anti-Jewish stuff all over the internet as right-wingers and Nazis and all that, supporting Trump, and Trump is kissing the ass, got his tongue up the ass of Israel every move he makes. It's insane. It's insane. Answer me this, Duke. What are you going to do about this? Continue to run on Trump's shirt tails? Wow. Wow, man. It's sickening. Now, we're going to put this up on the website more and more, this kind of stuff, as a message to the wise. And you tell these right-wing idiots to go up there and read it or get this radio show. Because, I mean, you know, how can... Oh, man. I don't know what to say. I've said it all. Well, that's it today, boys and girls. This is Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow on Freya's Day, Friday. She-Wolf Day in the bunker. And try to get more information than the right wing is ever going to give you. You got to look around for it. It's not all, and most of it's not coming from our sources. But there's a lot of information you need to have by reading a lot of things that you can get from other people that you can find as correct. And that's why the right wing never goes anywhere. They keep getting drunk on their own stuff. And I dare you to take that information I gave on Trump and his support of Israel and contact David Duke and ask him what the fuck he's got to say about it.